Okay, we're up to Perek Mem Dalet, up to Pasuk Lamed. These psukim are continuing the discussion of Yirmiyah's prophecy that is going to be a korban to the people living in Mitzrayim. The people living in Mitzrayim at this point have rebelled against Hashem. Hashem told them through Yirmiyah that they should not abandon Eretz Yisrael. They did not listen. They abandoned Eretz Yisrael. They went down to Mitzrayim and they forced Yirmiyah and Baruch Ben Neriah to descend with them. And they were living at Pitzperik Memdalit, Perik Memdalit, Pasik Lamit. They did not listen. They abandoned Eretz Yisrael. They went down to Mitzrayim. And to make matters worse, to add insult to injury, in Mitzrayim, they were worshipping Avodah Zarah. They were worshipping idols in Mitzrayim, especially the women. The main thrust of what we learned yesterday was Yirmiyah's complaint against... Yes, go ahead and close the doors. Was against, also give me one second, let me close the door over here also, it gets noisy. Hi, come in. So I'm going to close the door here. So Yirmiyah's complaint was primarily against the women and the husbands who supported them, why they allow them to offer kitoires and other forms of sacrifices to the Melech HaShemayim, to the sun or to the stars. Yirmiyah goes on to say that I'm warning you for your sins, you're going to be destroyed. You're going to be destroyed for your sins, and I'm going to give you a sign. You think I'm lying to you? You think I'm making this up, that Hashem is going to wipe out every last remnant, every last person that lives in Mitzrayim, to the point where there will be none of you that will swear by Hashem's name. None of you will live by Hashem's name. And the sign that this is going to happen is I'm telling you a prediction, a nevuah, a sign, an oath, that Paro will be defeated by Nebuchadnezzar. This was something that was shocking because no one believed that it was possible for Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, to conquer Mitzrayim. Even though Nebuchadnezzar did succeed in conquering Eretz Yisrael, he destroyed Yerushalayim and Beis HaMikdash and the whole Eretz Yisrael, but everyone thought that Melech Mitzrayim, Paro, Melech Mitzrayim was still more powerful and Egypt was still a secure place than Nebuchadnezzar. So he said to them that when you're going to see this incredible event, this incredible defeat, that Melech Mitzrayim is going to be defeated by Nebuchadnezzar, that will serve as a sign that your days are numbered. That in a very short time, you will be obliterated, you will be destroyed. You will also be destroyed from this land. And here in Pasuk Lamed, he expresses this sign in detail. Koy Amar Hashem, Hinani, Noisein. You want to?
No. Yeah. Very nice. Thank you.
Now, who is Chofra? So similarly, this is the name of Paro. Okay, there are different Paro. There were different Paros. Each Paro had a different name. So the Paro living at this point in time in this history was called Chofra, Melech Mitzrayim, Biyad Oivav. I will deliver Paro Chofra. That was his name. The king of Mitzrayim in the hand of his enemies, Nebuchadnezzar, Biyad Bevakshei Nafsho. Kasher, just like Nosati et Sidkiyahu, Melech Yehuda biyad Nebuchad Retzar, Melech Bavel Oivo, his enemy, or Mevakesh Navsho, the one that seeked his neshama. Okay, let's see the Mitzudas David first before we go into the Medrash. Lamed and Mitzudas David. Koy Amar, Hashem, so says Hashem, Ritzon Leimar, Ki Koy Amar Hashem, so says Hashem, Paro Chofra. Now, I don't know, my gears, for some reason, I have a Tifra. What do you have in your edition? I have a Dibur HaMaskel. The Pasuk says with a Ches. For some reason, in my edition, in the Mitzudos David, it says to the Tuf. What do you have in your edition? Do you have it?
With a Ches.
Okay, so there must be a mistake here in mine. A lot of mistakes here in this edition. Paro Tifra. Ki Malchei Mitzrayim Kruyim Paro. All of the kings of Egypt were called Paro. Zesh Ohaya Biyam Bayam Ohem Hoya Shmo Atzmi Tifra. Or I guess you have a Chofra. What do you have? You have a Ches again? Tough. You have Tough. Aha. So, okay, I don't know what the Pshat is. Because the Pasuk is a Ches, and here the Mitzvah is referring to him with a Tess. Okay, so this was, whatever this was, his name, Biyad Oivov, Heim HaKastim. Paru is a title. Every king, like in the United States, you have the president. In some countries, it's the prime minister. And then there is the individual, Shem HaAtzmi, the name. So the Paru is a title, and Chofra was his specific name. Paru Necho, that was way back, that was during the time of, not way back, that was not that long ago, that was during the time of Yoshiyahu.
That's an example
of, we have a specific name in addition to the title, Biyad Oivav, Heimakastim, Uviyad Kofel Hadavar Bemilim Shoinos. This is repeated with multiple poetic repetition to explain this idea. Okay, let's see over here what it says. Rashi Pasuk Lamed, Paru Chofra, Paru Tevira. So Rashi is learning that it's not the Shem HaEtzem. Rashi is coming to disagree with the Mitzudos. It's not the Shem HaEtzem. It's not his individual name. But this is a derogatory term. We're calling Paro the broken Paro. Paro will be destroyed. He will be broken through the battle. The Chesu Mishameshesh B'mokom Hei. This Ches is in the place of a Hei. Hofra. Hofra, I guess, means to break or to destroy. Let's see the Mitzudos Pasuk Lamed. Paro Chofra. Beches, v'chein hoyekinu shem also paro shohoya bayamim mohem. According to the Radak, he's learning it first like the parish of the Mitzudos, that this was his specific name during these times. V'yeshem some seki aches b'mokam hei, v'uparo b'hapecha osios. And now he's giving us a third interpretation that is being spelled backwards. Not exactly backwards, but we take the last letter, paro's peresh ayin hei. The hei can be interchanged with the ches. So we're going to use that as the first letter of his name, and chof then as the pei, chofra, and that's a derogatory term of referring to a person. When you want to insult a person, you take his name and you give him a nickname. And the nickname is always by a play on the name itself. Buparo hepech osios ratzolemar kiye porua. He will be broken apart. Min uf kifaro aharon. Aaron saw that the people have been broken apart. The Targum Yonasan Paro Tzvir, the broken Paro. Okay, so Hofra, it's a play on his name, is a derogatory term, and it was saying that Paro is going to be broken, he's going to be shattered at this point in time in Jewish history. Now the Medrash says, let me read you the Medrash. The Medrash says that there were three people. Okay, let me find. I'll tell you the old details. One moment. Okay, it's Perik Mem Dalid, Pasuk Lamed. Okay, this comes from the Tanhuma. The Tanhuma says, Paro Hoya Ech. What? Parashas Vo'era, Simen Tes, V'chein Hu Shemois Rabba, Perek Ches, Ois Gimel. Okay, so two major midrashim, and it's a very long midrashim, and the Medrash says there were four people in the history of the world that achieved extreme arrogance. Who they get the Nobel Prize for arrogance. Who were the four people? Chiram, Melech Tsar, the one that was a partner with Shlomo HaMelech in building the Beis HaMikdash. And indeed, it was his partnership in the building of the Beis HaMikdash which brought him to his arrogance, which brought him to become proud. Look what I did. I am the one who has built.
He made himself into a deity.
He built himself some type of supernatural island out in the Mediterranean where there were seven heavens. Yeah, he did all these very strange things. He had technology that we are not familiar with. Number two was Nebuchadnezzar. Number three was Yoash, one of the Jewish kings. Yoash was originally a very holy person. He was a good person. He was raised as he was raised by Yehoyada, by the father of Yehoyada. He was raised by one of the
Kohen Gadol.
Yoash was the Kohen Gadol. Yoash was 6 years old. He was raised in the Beis Hamikdash. Yezebel wanted to kill him. Yezebel wanted to kill all of her descendants because she wanted to be the queen. So she wiped out her entire family, and she also wanted to wipe him out, to kill Yoash, but they hid him. They hid him in the Beis Hamikdash for 6 years, and then they had an elaborate kesher, a conspiracy, a coup, against Izebel. They removed her from the throne, and they appointed this 6-year-old boy, Yoash, as the melech. And he was a tzaddik until his teacher died. When his teacher died, then he became very arrogant. People said to him, "You're a god. If you were able to survive for 6 years living in the in the attic of the Kodesh HaKadoshim in secret, and you did not die, it must be you are a deity." And indeed, he made himself into an avodah zarah. Okay, we'll get that. And then Paro, which Paro? This Paro. There are many Paros. There are many Pharaohs in history throughout Tanakh, but we are referring specifically to the Paro that lived during the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. He also got the Nobel Prize for arrogance. Now, what happened to these four people? The Medrash elaborates. I'll just run through a few bits and pieces. With regard to Chiram, Chiram said to himself, the story of Chiram is presented in Sefer Yecheskel. Ben Adam, Hashem said to Yecheskel, Emor l'negid tzar, I want you, Yecheskel, to go and speak to the prince of Tsar. Koyama Hashem Elokim. Yan, Gova Libcha. Your heart has become arrogant. Vatoimer. And you, Chiram, said, El Oni, I am a god. Moshav Elokim Yoshafti. I sit on the throne of God. Belev Yamim, in the heart of the seas. Hashem says, go tell them you're not a god. Va'ato odom v'lo el v'titein libcha kilev v'titein libcha kilev elokim. You've made your heart like the heart of God, but you're not the heart of God. You're nothing. Okay, the Medrash goes on and describes in a lot of great details. But what happened to him? The Medrash says that the punishment to these four people was they became like females. What do we mean like females? They were ultimately captured by their enemy, and their enemy humiliated them by having marital relations with them, so to speak, and used them as if they were the female. So that in Chazal's eyes, is the ultimate humiliation of a human being possible, where a person has lost his dignity to the point where his enemy will go and I don't know the correct terms, but basically make little of him by using him as an object to do what a man does to a woman. This represents the extreme of humiliation. And that's exactly what happened to all four of these people. Chiram melech tzar, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar said, Adame ele albomo se'ov, let me go on the highest cloud. Adame lo elyon, I am equal to the Most High, equal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He also turned into an animal. For 7 years, he was an animal. He lost his mind. He lived in the forest with all the animals. And the animals had relations with him, made him into an, like as if he was a female, and did with them what they wanted. The third person was Yoash. Yoash, it says, Vayachre Mos Yehoyada Bohu Sar Yehuda Veyishtachvu Lefanav Yehoyada HaKayin. He raised him. Yehoyada was the one that saved Yoash. And after he died, the people came and they began to worship him. And what happened? Hashem said to him, because of your arrogance, the Esyoash Osu Shifotim, the enemy came for him. I guess this refers to Sancheriv. Pasuk says, Aram. There was a battle, there was a war. Aram went to war against the Jewish people. Vayavohu el Yehuda v'Yerushalayim v'yes Yoash osu shifatim. They captured the Melech Yoash, and they did to Yoash shifatim, which Chazal interpreted to mean they did to him what a man does to a woman. Al tikre shifatim ela shiputim, which means taiva v'cheshek, they had relations with him. And the last one of the four is the Paro that lived at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, Paro Chofra. That's why he's called Chofra. This hidden koyim hashemini nosin is Paro Chofra Melech Mitzrayim biyad oivav. Mahu Chofra. The Medrash asked the question, what is this unusual word Chofra? Shaya Zohar upora atzmo kinikeva, that he was really a male, but but he opened himself up to other people as if he was a female. Chofra means to slit open.
Well, it's ashamed.
Like to put it to shame, okay. Bufara, over here, it's par means to cut open. He's translating the word chofra, similar to the word Hofra, to cut open, to split. He made himself open like he was a female. Chav k'modi ad amar upara etz rosh isha, to uncover. So that's what happens over here. Bayim hu yeh mitzrayim kanoshim. So another pasuk in Yishan, that day mitzrayim will be like women. Umi garamlo, because he said, liya oirivani asi sani. I guess he was a descendant of the first paro back in the time of the Torah. Not the first paro, the time of the Torah, where he said about himself, liya oirivani asi sini. And, well, that's in Yechezkel. I don't know if that was just the part, it could be that Pasuk, Li Aliyah Oyvani Asisini, is referring to the power that lived in the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. And in the Pasuk that that Rashi quotes in the time of the power, in the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, with borrowing from the Paro later on. Paro in the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim never said those words. Liyah Oyvani, it's in the Haftarah.
I think Chazal
attributed, right? But even though Chazal attributed to him, but where it's written explicitly is in reference to the paro that lived in the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. Okay, so let's just take away, just to review the summary. It's kedai to remember this. There are four people, very important medrash, who achieved the extreme degree of arrogance in this world. Number one, Chiroim Melech Tsar, the one who was a partner with Shlomo HaMelech in building the Bayis Rishon. He made himself into a god. He lived in an island out in the Mediterranean where he thought he was sitting on the Kisei HaKavod. Hashem humbled him by allowing his enemies to attack him, and they did to him like what a man does to a woman. The second one was Nebuchadnezzar, that we're much more familiar with. He said, Adam Elo Elyon, I will be similar to God. He turned into an animal. He lost his mind for 7 years. He was an animal, and all of the creatures in the field had relations with him like a male man has with a woman. The third is Yoash. That's a very important Tisha B'Av story. Yehoyada HaKoyin raised Yoash for 6 years, hid him, and he trained him and raised him. When he died, he became an Avodah Zarah. And Aram attacked him and did to him like what a man does to a woman. And the fourth is what we just learned over here, Paroi Chofra. He was arrogant, what it says in Yechezkel, Li Yo'arivani Asisini, and the punishment was Chofra. They cut him open like a woman and they did to him whatever they wanted. Okay, that concludes this perek. Now we go into the next video. Now we go to a short nevuah. New idea. Now we're going to have until the end of the sefer, we're going to have a collection of short nevuahs. Most of the nevuahs we're going to come to is in reference to the 2011 of the 26 nations. You have to remember that the prophets did not just give over prophecy for the Jewish people. The prophets gave over messages to the entire world. And in the world, in the civilized world at this time, it appears there were 26 nations. Okay, we know there were 70 nations, but the number 26 comes up over and over. There were 26 major nations, and many of them, if not all of them, participated to some degree in the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. When Nebuchadnezzar came to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, he couldn't do it on his own. He needed to hire mercenaries.
The neighbors.
And each nation had certain skills that they provided to achieve the Churban of Yerushalayim. And besides that, there also was in addition that they took joy. Even if they did not actually participate, they took great joy in witnessing the downfall of Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. So the day of reckoning will come for each one of these nations, and we're going to see at the end of the Sefer 11 short prophecies in reference to 11 of these 26 nations. What exactly will happen to them? When did it happen? Well, it could be it already happened in the last 2,000 years. Okay, every so often when you hear a horror story, there's a tsunami, there's a hurricane, there's a natural disaster, who is not to say that that is a fulfillment of the prophecy? And indeed, you do sometimes hear, you do see parallels that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to punish that nation for what they've done 2,000 years ago, the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. Now, that's a little bit difficult also to say, because you have to be very careful, because Tzadik V'Ra'lo, these are descendants. So why should Lo Yumsu Avos Al Banim, Banim Lo Yumsu Al Avos, unless they're Oiches Maiseh Yodeim, the Maisim? So who says these people living in a tsunami in Indonesia? What do they have to do with whatever happened 3,000 years ago? So it's a very dangerous thing to go and talk like that. But could very well be that also these prophecies did not yet even happen. And these prophecies will first take place at the time of Mashiach. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hold them accountable for what has happened in the earlier days. So a lot of these things are very big mysteries. Now before we get to that, there's another very major important nevuah. And this has a very powerful lesson for life. Hadavar, that's a nevuah message sent specifically for Baruch ben Neriya. Perek Mem Hei, Hadavar Asher Dibra Yirmiyahu HaNavi El Baruch ben Neriya. Because when Baruch ben Neriya, when he wrote down Es Hadavar Mo'ele Al Seif Mipir Yirmiyahu, when Baruch ben Neriya wrote down all of the prophecies that are in the Sefer, I mean the whole Sefer Yirmiyah, or Megillas Eicha, or maybe it refers to what's coming later on in the next couple of parakim, the 11 prophecies for the 11 nations. When he wrote down all of these things, Bashana Horavitz Lehoyakim Ben Yoshiyahu, we're going way, way back. Most of what we've done, we just finished learning Perik Memhei, is the event that took place after the Chorban, which is 17 years after the fourth year of Yehoyakim. Yehoyakim was king for 11 years. So after what he said over here took place in the 4 years, so you have another 18 years. We have another 7 years for Yehoyakim to go. If this is taking place in the fourth year, and Yehoyakim is going to be king for 11 years, so we have another 7 years to go, plus the 11 years of Tzidkiyahu for a total of 18 years. So we're now going back in time 18 years. Yirmiyahu is predicting what's going to happen at the end of days, and he's telling Baruch ben Neriya to write it down. And Yirmiyahu sees that Baruch ben Neriya is a very frustrated student. Okay, very frustrated student. He's working as an adjunct and doing research for his professor, Yirmiyahu. And tenure is not in the coming. He sees that they're not willing to give him his doctorate. However you want to describe all these terms in the world of academia. He's studying as a very good student, but they're giving him a very, very hard time in achieving his goal. So Yirmiyahu says to him, listen, what?
He can't get through his thesis.
They're giving him a hard time. The dissertation is not going well. So what happens here? So Yirmiyahu says to Baruch ben Neriya, listen, Baruch ben Neriya, I got bad news for you. It's just not pasheret for you. It's all timing. Had you been here 10 years ago, then you would have gotten through. You would have had a legacy. You would have got your PhD. You would be able to hang up a shingle. And you'd be able to sit back and brag to your children and grandchildren, look what I've accomplished. But unfortunately, you were born in the wrong time. And the Chorban is coming, and therefore it's not a time now to achieve greatness. It's just not your time. So what because was the way I'll save you be your Yahoo, Bashana Harvis, Leo Yokum Ben Yoshiyahu, Melchidulemar, Pasik Gimel, Pasik Beis, Koyama Hashem Elokei Yisrael Olecha Baruch. Baruch, I see you're very upset. Hashem told me to give you the following message. Pretty good, huh? Hashem says a message just for you. It's pretty amazing. Amarta, I heard that you said, Oy noli, woe to me, ki yosaf Hashem yogon al machlevi. Hashem has added sorrow, grief upon my pain. Now these are very powerful words. Yogati be'anchasi. We have something very similar in Tehillim. We say in Tachanun, Yogati, I am tired. I am worn out. Be'anchasi, in my sorrow. I found no menucha. So this is a very, very powerful pasuk. People can say this pasuk every day, 50 times a day. Some people are very frustrated. One more time. Oy no li, woe to me. Ki yosaf Hashem yogon al machayvi. Hashem has added sorrow to my pain. Yogati, I'm tired. Be'anchasi, in my sorrow. Umenucha loy motzasi. That was the quotation of Baruch ben Neriya, which Hashem is replaying. You think Hashem doesn't hear? Hashem hears everything you say. Hashem is aware of everything that you say. So Hashem over here is replaying word for word what exactly Baruch ben Neriya said. And Hashem now says to him, Koy to Amar Lav, go Yirmiyahu, tell him as follows. Very powerful Musar. Koy Amar Hashem, Hinei, Asher Bonisi Ani Hores. What I have built, Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. Good to see you. What I have built, Ani Hores. The base Hamigdash that I built, I am now coming to demolish. The Eis Asher Notati Ani Noisesh, and the plant, the Beis HaMikdash, is both called, it's a very common idea, it's called a binyan and it's called a plant. Each of these two has milus. A structure is forever. A structure never dies. Right? If you build a structure, you put enough cement, it'll be around for 1,000 years. A tree only lasts that long. Every tree is like a human being. A tree has a life expectancy. Every tree, different types of trees, so it's not going to be around forever. So a structure, okay, today they build very weak structures, they don't last that long, but if you build a real structure, there are buildings today, there are palaces today that have been built 1,000 years ago. If you build it the right way, it can last forever. So a binyan has the mila that it can last forever, but a tree has the mila that it's a living being, it's life. A light tree represents chius, real life. So the Beis HaMikdash is both called a binyan, is called a structure, which has the advantage that it's forever, and also has the advantage that it's called a tree, a plant, which has life. Hine, behold, asher bonisi ani hares, that which I have built, I'm going to demolish. V'yes asher notati, what I have planted, ani noisesh, I'm going to uproot. V'es kol ha'aretzi, and this is going to be so throughout the entire land. In other words, this is not just going to be for the Beis HaMikdash. This is going to be true for the entire Eretz Yisrael. Everything in Eretz Yisrael is going to be destroyed, whether it's going to be destroyed as a building that's been demolished or a tree that's going to be uprooted. Therefore, Hashem says to Yirmiyah, how dare you at this point in time when the whole world is suffering, seek out for yourself greatness. V'atan yu tevakesh l'cha gedolos. You're seeking greatness. Now, what was the greatness that Baruch ben Neri was seeking? Nevuah. He desperately wanted to be a prophet. And he was studying under the wings of Yirmiyahu. And it was not in the coming. And Hashem says, you want gedula when everyone is suffering? Al tevakesh. Ki hinani mevi ra'a al kol basarnu Hashem. V'nasati l'cha es nafshecha l'shalol. You should be happy that you remain alive. Al kol hamikoymos asher telach sham, all the places where you go, that should be your great satisfaction. So powerful mussar. The mussar is that when everyone else in this world is suffering, it's not a time for an individual to seek out private greatness, even spiritual greatness, becoming a nevuah. Be happy that you're alive, because most people don't even have that. Okay, let's take a look at the mepharshim. There's a lot going on in these psukim. Let's see the mepharshim how they explain. Starting with pasuk aleph and perik mem hey. It begins in the Mitzudos David, the Kosvai. Hashem sent a message to Baruch ben Iriya through Yirmiyahu at the time when he was writing all of these prophecies. The Eisha Kosav Megillas Eicha. Mitzudos learns that when it says Sefer, it refers specifically to Megillas Eicha, like we learned back a few parakim before. What are the words that we're referring to? The words we're referring to, what it says in Eicha, are the tragedies that Hashem have designated for Yehud of Yisrael, Al Kain Asher Kain Bo, which indeed came. That's why it's used before this, the same thing. Okay, next, Al Sefer. What does it mean, Al Sefer? Omar Sefer al Shem Soifoi. It's not yet called a book. It's only a few words. We call it Sefer al Shem Soifoi. Ki acha sheichtoiv nase Sefer. Mipi Yirmiyah. Ritzon Olaymar. Yirmiyah Omar hadver mipiv. Ubaruch hoyekosev al Sefer. Yirmiyah dictated and Baruch put in writing. Pasuk Gimel. Ki yosaf. Hashem now replays the exact words of Baruch. Ki yosaf Hashem. Hashem hoysef li yogon al hamechoiv. Hashem has added sorrow to my wound, Shemeoz, from before. Kimeoz sheshamati mimcha nevuas haparonios, huchav libi. From the moment I heard out of your mouth, Yirmiyahu, that it's going to be churbin, my heart was in a state of pain. The atua now, because hamagillah kiilu kvar neesesa, nitoisef biyagon. After I wrote the Megillah, it's as if this has already happened, and I have more sorrow. I have even more sorrow. I guess the sorrow here is that writing these words down, it insult to injury. Okay, yogati b'anchasi va'ani oyef yogea. I am tired. I am weak. Bameh shani misaneach tamid. I am always in pain. V'doeg albias haparonis. I'm tired due to the realization that the churban is coming. U'menucho loy motzasi ko'aymer. This means to say, hinei mashani koyse v'lucha megillah v'loy acher. Hu al kimash ani mishamish oschot tadir v'loy meid bimcha. The reason why it is I who writes this Megillah, that's because I am your prize student. Umaduin kein lo sharso alai hanavua. So here comes the mitzudos where he comes for the kill. He comes for the target. Why then have I not been a recipient of the gift of prophecy? Dolama nishtanesi mishar talmide hanavim. Why am I different than all other students of the prophets? Virak es haraki balti, v'loy es hatoiv. I've only suffered the pain, I have not seen the good. So Hashem says to him, listen, Baruch, the world's coming to an end. The apocalypse is upon us. Don't look for simcha at this time. Don't look for gedulas. Asher bonitzi v'tzor lamar, Yisrael shasisim kibinyan yafeh. We're comparing Klal Yisrael to a structure. Hinei ato aharseim v'abdeim. I'm going to uproot them and destroy them. V'yez asher natati kof v'abim l'shodas. Klal Yisrael is both compared to a binyan and a tree. V'yez kol ha'aretz, he v'tzor lamar, Kol mekaymos eretz Yisrael tia harusos v'nesushos. The entire Eretz Yisrael is going to be destroyed. V'yata tevakesh. V'yechata bevakesh ato divrei gedulos. How dare you at this juncture demand prophecy? Now here the mitzudos is in insight. It's not just stam that it's not a time for gedula. Hashem says to him, there's no need for it anymore, because with the Churban Beis Hamikdash, nevua is coming to an end. It's coming to an end. He hoil the Yisrael goylim, the ein makom shetishra hanevua mechadash. There's no need. The reason why we're shutting down the program, we're not giving you nevua, is because there's no need for it. There's not going to be any nevuah after the Churban Bayis Rishon. Ki hinani, return to Laimar, aval secharcha ye im ki, hinani mevi hara, the reward that you could expect for your good deeds and all of your suffering is at least you'll live. Be happy that you'll remain alive. Es nafshecha, etin lecha l'shalal, ki tatzil nafshecha, ki ilu shalal to osoliatzma, will allow you to remain alive. Al kol ha-makaymos, b'chol ha-makaymos shatiyel ho'elech b'goyle, yelech ha-nafshcho l'shlov lo'isamos. I guarantee wherever you go, no matter how bad the conditions are, you should be aware that you will remain alive. Now this is a very interesting thing, because many people will tell you that if you can't have what you're trying to achieve, life is just not worth living. Right? Isn't that a person spends their whole life trying to achieve something, and then they fail in doing so, it's more often than not, they commit suicide. Right, so what's life worth living when you don't have what you seek to achieve? If you have a plan and you fail in your plan, and yet Hashem says you don't understand how the value of life. It's a very powerful power. There's nothing more greater than being a prophet. Like this is the Spitz. Over here, he's working his entire life, Baruch Ben Iria. He's an apprentice. He's struggling his entire to achieve the greatest degree of satisfaction in life is to have prophecy. And after he puts in all the time, all the work, and everyone that came before him, when they put in the amount of effort that he exerted himself, achieved prophecy, and to him it was denied. So I think the average person would say, "That's it. Life's not worth living, right?" I mean, I think you see this all the time. And no, Hashem says to him, "You should know life is worth living." Life is still worth living. It's a very powerful Musa Haskell. Kate put this capital over here on the top of the George Washington Bridge. Next to the phone number. Next to the phone number, what?
According to this, it's saying here it's not needed because Gula is added in, but it's not added in yet.
Right, it's going to go. It's but it's no one.
It's being phased out.
So exactly, being phased out. So we're not. There's a hiring freeze.
We're going to Golas.
No, there is. There's no, anyone that was a prophet before Yecheskel.
He started before.
He started before. So since we know we have enough people that started before. We don't need new people. We're phasing out, and therefore there's no need for new war. After also remember, what I think all the Mepharshim say is that it's always Zeh L'Uma Zeh Bara Elokim. Whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu always keeps the balance equal. When there is Nevuah, then there is a Taiva for Avodah Zarah. In other words, Hashem is saying, hear me, if you hear me, I'm going to give you Nevuah, I'm going to open up a new channel of prophecy for you. There's a consequence. The consequence is there's going to be a yetzer hara for avodah zarah, because that's what Chazal say. It's always the same time when nevuah was when Chazal tells the Bayis Sheni they trade off. They slaughtered the yetzer hara. Wonderful. There's no longer a yetzer hara for avodah zarah, and the yetzer hara for noshim for gilui arayis was cut down 50%. Could you imagine what society would be like today if the yetzer hara for noshim would be double what it is today? Okay, it's hard enough to go walk on the streets to see what's going on in the streets, but can you imagine double? But that's what it was. It was the tithe for Nashim was double than it is today, and Avodah Zarah, there's another Yetzer Hara, which we have absolutely no understanding what this is all about, was also, so you can go out of your mind. You walk on the streets, you're under attack to worship idols, and to be nichshol in arayos, double what we're accustomed to. Person couldn't exist like this. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to slaughter the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah and diminish the Yetzer Hara for Noshim by 50%. What's the trade-off? The trade-off is there's no longer going to be a direct line to Hashem with the Ruach HaKodesh of Kedusha of prophecy. So Hashem over here is telling Yirmiyah, I'm phasing out Nevuah, and this is for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. If I'm going to mint you now as a new prophet, that means there's going to be a new channel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the next generation. You're a youngster. You're a youngster, and you're getting your PhD, and you're going to go out. You're going to go to Bavel. You go with the Golas. That means I'm going to have to open up a new channel of Taiva to do Averos. And the Hamoinam in Bavel is not going to be able to be Oymed in that Nisayon. It's for the better of Klal Yisrael that there not be a Yetzer Hara to do Averos, Avodah Zarah Gilui Arayis, and the cost will be, you'll have to sacrifice yourself, Zeh L'mazeh, you're not going to achieve prophecy.
You don't need prophecy. Then why would you need it if you have no Yetzer
Hara? What do you mean? It's Zeh L'mazeh, what do you mean? If you don't do the Averos and you take advantage of the prophecy, so you have it's a whole...
If you don't do Averos, why need the Nevuah?
If you don't do Averus, no Nevuah. Nevuah represents the Kirvas Elokim. It represents a high quality of life. Living with Hashem. It's you walk around the whole day with a very close relationship with Hashem. If you have a prophet in your midst, every Shiloh you have, you go to the prophet, he tells you what to do, he radiates with Kedusha. It's a whole different world. The world as a whole, the quality of life is just beyond our imagination. But the trade-off is the struggle to maintain that quality of life with the Yetzer Hara is almost impossible. Is also magnified very much. And the average person is not going to be able to be oymed in the Nisayon of dealing with the Yetzer Hara. So Hashem is saying to Yirmiyah, the world is coming to an end. The world is coming to an end. The Klal Yisrael is going into Baruch Beniria, the world. You have to know that they're going to Golis. And in Golis, there's going to be a very great Nisyonos. And if I'm going to allow you to be a prophet, there's going to be, I have to allow there to be a Yetzer Hara. And the Hamoinam is not going to be able to be oymed in the Nisayon of this Yetzer Hara. Therefore, the best thing for Klal Yisrael is the trade-off, to cut them both out, to take away the Nisyonos and Golos, and the cost will be that you're not going to be a new prophet. That's really how the Mefarshim explain this concept of why there's not going to be prophecy. Let's see over here what it says in Rashi. Rashi first quotes the frustration of Baruch Umenucho Loi Motzasi Lo Shor Solai Shchina Linave. Baruch is frustrated. I'm a student of Yirmiyahu, and the Menucha has not come to me. I did not find the prophecy. Kemo V'atonach Aleim Haruach, like it says in this pasuk concerning Shimshain, the Ruach rested upon them. Umash Shenish. Or V'atonach Aleim was that just the 70 Zekanim? The 70 Zekanim rest upon the Ruach Hakodesh. Ma. Nishtanesi mitalmide hanavim. Why should I be different than all of the other students of prophets? Yehoshua shimesh es Moshe, nochol la ruach hakodesh. Elisha shimesh es Eliyahu, nochol la ruach hakodesh. Ani ma nishtanesi. Why should I be different and not merit the prophecy? Pasuk dalit v'es kol aretz hi hanidoines benitzisha v'harisa zo. when it says in the pasuk the Eskol Aretz, it's referring back to what it says Bonisi Hine Ani Bon Asher Bonisi Ani Hores the Eis Asher Notati Ani Noseish. So to whom is that being applied to? It applies to the Eskol Aretz Sahi. That is what's going to be judged with the being demolished and being uprooted and demolished. Pasuk A. Therefore, how dare you or don't be Tevakesh L'cho Gedoilos. What are Gedoilos? Nevuos, prophecy, Kamo, Saperno Li, Eskol HaGedoilos, V'goymer, Kroi Lai, V'agid L'cho Gedoilos, Amalek HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im Ein Kerem Ein Siyog. If there is no vineyard, there is no fence. V'im Ein Tzoyin, and if there is no sheep, Ein Roya. Therefore, Rashi is telling us simply, I'm not going to give you prophecy because there's no need for prophecy anymore. The people, my people are not, they're not on a madrega where they deserve prophecy. Eini nigla al hanavim ella bezuchusam shel Yisrael. And since Klal Yisrael is going to be destroyed, they're going to Golis, therefore there's no need for the prophecy. Kach shenuya b'mechilta b'techila in the beginning of the Mechilta. Okay, let's see over here the Radak, Pasuk Aleph, Esa Devar Ma'ilah, Haneskoim L'malah, Merosh HaSefer Ad HaShon HaRviyas, L'Yayokim K'mosh HaKosov L'malah. So clearly the Radak disagrees with the Mitzudos. The Radak, that's really how I translated the Pasuk when I learned the Pasuk for the first time. The Mitzudos says that Baruch Ben Neriah, he was writing specifically Megillas Eicha. That's the only thing which Baruch Ben Neriah wrote down. Radak disagrees. Radak says that he was writing down every single thing. The entire Sefer Yirmiyah was written by Baruch Ben Neriah, the scribe and the student of Yirmiyah. Amarta, what have you said in your complaint? Ki Yosaf Hashem Yogin Al Machayvi. Perish, Ki Baruch Hayim Misraim, he was complaining Al Nevuah. He was complaining why he did not receive prophecy. He was writing down the prophecy of his Rebbe, but he did not have his own prophecy. His Sra'im, he complained. V'omar, oi no li, woe to me. Uvidrash, what is the homiletic meaning of this pasuk? Hamichayv hu ma shahayu mach'ivim oiso Yisrael b'charfo uvoiz. The pain was the humiliation that he suffered from the Klal Yisrael, just like they brought humiliation, disgrace upon his Rebbe Yirmiyah. They despised and they disgraced the student Baruch. The Hayagon Devar HaNevuah Shloibosa, the Yagon is the prophecy that did not come to him. He spent his entire career preparing for prophecy, but it never came. But he did not have, what he's complaining over here is that it was not meant to be before he was conceived. If you remember in the very beginning, this very fascinating Radak, very Mordek Radak, Yisuristik Radak, remember the very beginning of the Sefer of Yirmiyah, we're winding down here, to tie the end of the Sefer to the beginning of the Sefer, Hashem recruits Yirmiyah, and Yirmiyah says, I'm not interested. So Hashem says, what do you mean you're not interested? You've been selected, Vahidvash, Dvash, Hashem Elai Lemar, B'terem Etzorucha V'abeten Yidaticha. Even before you were conceived, in Shemayim, your neshama, this was your mission. Your mission was to come down to this world to be a prophet. Uviterem teitzei meirechem, and before you came out of your mother's womb, hikdashticha, navi lagoyim nisaticha. You're going to be a prophet from the goyim, which either means for Klal Yisrael or for the umos ha'olam. So here, Baruch ben Neriah says, it wasn't meant to be for me. I was meant to be an accountant. And I had a midlife crisis. And I wanted to switch careers and go from becoming an accountant to become a prophet. Hashem says, you know, you're just not cut out for this. You can't now become a prophet after spending your whole life training for being an accountant. You have to be a prophet, you have to be selected before you even come down to this world. This is a Merdeka.
Most accountants like to have
Profits, profitable business. Uvidrash, look at the words, these powerful words, Uvidrash. Hamichayv, what? Why did Hashem wait till now to tell him all this?
I mean, if you're going to make a career change, to take your example.
Okay, let's see, he explains more. Let's see, good question, I don't know, let's see, Uvidrash, these are very powerful words. Hamichayv u'mashachayu machayim aso yishol b'cherp, both. Okay, when it says I have pain, yog, I'm yog, machayv, my whole life I'm suffering, I'm being tormented. The Hayagadra Nevuah Shlobos Ela, the Hu Hechenatsma Elecha B'chol Asher Yuchal Ela, Shelo hois le'achonet tivis. He was not naturally meant for this. It was not his natural profession. Be'es hayitzira, at the time of creation, his conception, k'mo shekosav li'betchilas ha'sefer, with regard to Yirmiyahu. Uvidrash, another drash, Baruch Hoya Misraim al Hanavua, he complained, Omar Yoshua Shimesh Moshe Rabbeinu Vishavah Shosel of Ruach HaKodesh, Elisha Shimesh Eliyahu Vishosel of Ruach HaKodesh, Ma Nishtan Nisi Ani Mikol Talmidei HaNavim, why am I different? Oy no li hiyosaf Hashem Yogin al-Machoyevi Menucha Le'motzasi Ve'ein Menucha El Le'Nevua. Menucha is a code word for prophecy. Shenemar Kinoyach Aleihem, Rashi quoted this, the 70 Zekanim, Mahamokoy Mashivoy, what Hashem answer him? Hinei Asher Bonisi Ani Hoyreis V'goymer, meaning, like we'll see, he explains more, Pasakei V'atot V'akashchol Gedolos, Ve'ein Gedolos El Le'Nevuos, you want great things. The word Gedolos means prophecies. Shenemar So we have different expressions in Tanakh where you find the word gedolos is used in reference to prophecy. If there's no vineyard, then there's no need to build a fence. If there's no sheep, then there's no need for a shepherd. You can lay him off. Royal Lama. Or Rabbi Ma, ki hinli mevi ro al kol basar, harei b'chol mokem atemotzi shein anevim misnab me'elam b'zuchuson shel Yisrael. V'chein tir gim yonesem v'nucho loy motzasi v'nevu loy ashkachis. And therefore I'm not going to find, therefore there's no klal Yisrael, there's no need for nevua. They say the same thing about the gedolim. And they say, people ask the question, why, this is what the Bali Musa say, why b'zman hazeh, don't we have gedolim? We don't have gedolim on the caliber of the previous generation. We don't. It's a mitzvah. There are some very great people today. No question about it. But we don't have people who have a hold, a command on the klal like the gedolim of the previous generation.
The previous generation may have said, we don't have the previous generation.
Enochanami. That's right.
Like
Shoulder. But still, in all, it's a far cry. You look at you look at, that's a mistake, you don't have to elaborate. So the answer is, the Bali Musa say it's because we don't want. If we really wanted Gedolim, Hashem would give it to us. If we really had a yearning to have leaders like existed 200, 300 years ago, Hashem would give it to us. Because the leaders don't come on their own. It's not magic. Leaders are only in the Zuchus of Klal Yisrael. If Klal Yisrael has merit, and they want, they have merit, Hashem Mimele will bring down neshamas to this world that will develop into leaders that will guide Klal Yisrael. It's because we don't want people telling us what to do. It's our fault, it's not their fault, yeah?
What does the Radak do with the Shabbos Yom Menucha? Is that the reason to do also?
Maybe, you want to say Drush? It's a day of Ruach HaKodesh. It's a day when you have Ruach HaKodesh. They say such things. They say that learning you do on Shabbos is the whole different Madrega. Shami Seira, Ruach HaKodesh. But it's just over in this context. The Nevuah comes B'Zuchuson Shel Yisrael. Leadership in Klal Yisrael comes B'Zuchuson Shel Yisrael. It's from grassroots. Grassroots, the Klal Yisrael, they're married. Memela Kol Shbroch, the other shrim is going to be leaders. Next, Vyeskes Kol Aretz, he Kol Aretz Kemosh Shi Kola Eros Vyetosh. The entire earth will be destroyed. I will uproot and I will demolish and uproot Kemosh Amar. Hirni Mevi Ra Al Kol Basar Kemosh Hasnabi Yirmiyah La Umois. Vyoinus Santir Gem Vyos Kol Aretz Yisrael Dilihi. The whole now. So it seems over here that the first interpretation he's saying over here is that the Skolaritzi is going on the Goyim, on the Umo So'ilam. And I guess a Navi, I guess what he means to say is that a Navi is not just for Klali, so a Navi is Navi la Goyim Nisaticha. There are different interpretations of what it means, like when it says by Yirmiyah, like Goyim, does it mean for Klal Yisrael, does it mean for the Umos HaOlam? But maybe if Hashem is saying, I'm going to destroy the Umos HaOlam, so they don't need prophets either. The Goyim only need prophets if they exist. If the Goyim are going to be destroyed, so the Goyim don't need prophets. So therefore, there's no need for you, Baruch Ben Iri, there's no need for your prophecy as well. And then he ties to the second interpretation, which was exactly what Rashi and the Mitzvah says, it refers to that Eretz Yisrael is going to be destroyed, and the Jewish people will not need a Navi because they're going into Golis.
So can I ask me a question again? Why did they should have called Baruch Ben Iri this much earlier?
In his career. Well, it was pretty much. Well, this was in the fourth year. This was pretty much in the early years of his career, because this, according to the pasuk, was in the fourth year of Jehoiakim. The fourth year of Jehoiakim is 18 years before the Churban. So this pretty much was when he was a youngster. He was training. He was a grad student. Okay, and he was going for his doctorate in prophecy. And it was the right time, and they said we're shutting down the program. Well, Yirmiah was much older. Yirmiah started prophecy in the time of before Yoshiyahu, it says. And Yoshiyahu was king for 31 years. In the early years of Yoshiyahu, he was already giving out prophecy. Baruch ben Iri does not appear on the scene until the fourth year of Jehoiakim. So it's much, much later point in time. He was a youngster. So in Echnami, Hashem says that we're phasing out prophecy for all the different reasons we've given above, and therefore you're not going to receive. Okay, so this concludes this. This is again the very powerful lesson over here. Are these words? It's a very kedai to remember this: is that when everyone else is suffering, when you're in a situation where everyone else is suffering, it's not a time to seek gedulas. I mean the pasuk again. When the whole world is coming to an end, or when your little world, everyone lives in their own little world, when your whole little world is coming to an end, be very careful, be very sensitive to everyone else. Everyone else is suffering, it's not a time for you to. The terem. You're not supposed to have children, but there's a little more practical reason. More practical, because who's going to support them? If you're going to have children in the years of famine, how are you going to feed them? But
no, I think because called the whole world was Barov, so he didn't want to.
Yaakov Avinu told the Shalom Tisrahu. Yaakov Avinu, according to one interpretation, that Yaakov had plenty of food. There was no need for Yaakov Avinu to go down to send his children to Mitzrayim Lishbar Oichel. He had plenty of food because he was a tzaddik. However, all the neighbors were going. And they say, how come you don't go, Yaakov? How come you don't send your children to Mitzrayim to buy food? Yeah, food? It would create jealousy. You're going to show off that you're better than everyone else. So to go through the motions, he said, that's right, go down to Mitzrayim like everyone else to buy food. Don't show off when everyone else is in the matzav of tzara. Don't show off that you have more than anyone else. It's a very powerful mussar. Pasuk Perek Mem Vav. Now Perek Mem Vav really begins the 11 prophecies concerning 11 out of 26 nations. The first prophecy is in regard to Paro, Egypt. Egypt will be decimated. Here we go. Hasher Hoya Dvar Hashem El Yimyo Hanavi Alagoyim concerning the nation. This is the opening pasuk refers to all of nations. Now these pasuk that we're going to learn over here now are not easy. Okay, we're going back to really the hard part of Yirmiyah. It's even harder to some degree than some of the prophecies that we learned before. The psukim are complex. There are many ideas being expressed in a few short words. So this pasuk aleph is the opening line. It's going to open up to all to the end of the sefer. Pasuk base, Limitzrayim. Okay, first nation on our agenda is the nation of Egypt. Your day of reckoning is coming. Al chel paro necho. I have a message to deliver to the concerning the army of paro necho, melech Mitzrayim. So who is the king that we're referring to? It's not paro chorpa, but it's paro necho. Now paro necho takes us back to the time of Yoshiyahu. Takes us back. Let's review what happened. I mean, this is all taking place seemingly in the fourth year of Jehoiakim. But let's go back. Let's go back to the 31st year of Yoshiyahu, the king that came before Jehoiakim. What happened at that time? Well, everyone knows the story from Tisha B'Av that Yoshiyahu was a very great tzaddik. He was king already for 31 years. He brought about one of the greatest Bali Tshuva movements in the history of Klal Yisrael, and he even felt that they were living almost in the times of Mashiach. And then he gets a message that Paro Necho, the Paro of Egypt, whose name happened to be Necho. Necho means a cripple. The reason why he was called Paro Necho was because he somehow got hold of the kisei of Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo made for himself this magnificent kisei throne for his malchus. And it was booby-trapped. anyone that did not know, anyone that was not deserving, a worthy, a descendant of Malchus Beis David, this the technology built into this kisei would detect that he's an imposter, and it would cripple him, it would hit him. There were many animals and creatures, and we sat down. One of these creatures would go and cause the person to become a cripple. That's exactly what happened. They erected this magnificent throne in Egypt, or wherever they erected it, and Paro sat down on it, and he was crippled. He became a paraplegic. So he was called Paro Necho. So they took him around in a wheelchair, wherever they went, and he had an army, and it was during this period of time, it was during the time, the end of Yoshio, 22nd year of Yoshiyahu, the 31st year of Yoshiyahu, when he wanted to wage war against Melech Ashur, the king of Ashur, in the city called Karkamish. Karkamish is in Ashur. That's to the north east of Eretz Yisrael. Paro is in the southwest. If I look at a map, so Egypt is the southwest, Ashur is the northeast. In order to get from Mitzrayim to Ashur, the easy way is to cut through Eretz Yisrael. Erites, they wanted to fly over Eretz Yisrael. So he sent a message, we want to go, we have nothing to do with Klal Yisrael, we're not coming to make any trouble for you, we want to go to war against Ashur, and we just want passage, free passage to your land, and we're not going to make any trouble. Yoshio says in the Torah, that during time when Klal Yisrael is oisim mitzvah shlomakam, im bichukos saite lechu, v'yetz mitzvah saite shmiru v'asis mosam, v'chulu v'chulu, v'nosati sholom v'aretz, v'cherev loisavar bi'artzachem, which Chazal interpreted to mean, even a cherev shalom. So he said, no, you may not pass through the land. Paro Necho did not take no for an answer, he anyway went. Yoshio went out to stop him. Yirmiyahu told him, don't stop him. You're making a big mistake. The Jewish people, they're not tzaddikim. They're doing avodah zarah behind closed doors. And don't stop him. Let him pass through. Yoshio did not listen to Yirmiyahu. He did not let him pass through. He tried to stop him. There was a war. Yoshio was killed. When Yoshio was killed, the Klal Yisrael replaced Yoshiyahu with Yehoitzadik, with a brother of Yoshiyahu. Paro Necho was not very happy with that appointment. He deposed him very shortly after 3 months and appointed instead Yehoyakim. In the meantime, Paro Necho went to Karkamish. He did go to Karkamish and they did battle in Karkamish. They did battle in Karkamish and they won. In Karkamish, Paro Necho prevailed and destroyed Ashur. So here the Pasuk says, now very good, Paro Necho. You went to Ashur, you conquered in Karkamish. But you should know you have blood on your hands. You killed Yoshiyahu. You brought about his death. Yoshiyahu was from the greatest tzaddikim. And also, Mitzrayim has a debt to pay from all the other tzaras that caused Klal Yisrael. So now this prophecy says what's going to ultimately happen to Paro Necho's army. It's going to be decimated by Nebuchadnezzar. Le Mitzrayim, concerning Mitzrayim, Al-Chel Paro Necho, concerning the army of Paro Necho, Melech Mitzrayim, Asher Hoya Al Nahar Paros, which now ultimately after that battle of killing Yoshua, they now found themselves encamping on the river of Paros, the Euphrates, Bikarakimish. Asher Hika, you know what's going to happen to the Paro Necho's army after they succeed in wiping out Ashur? They will be decimated by Asher Hika Nevuchad Retzar Melech Bavel. When will this happen? This will happen 4 years later. Okay, so for 4 years, the Paro Necho had peace and success. He killed Yoshiyahu. He then went, proceeded to his destination of Karkamish along the Euphrates. He won. They set up shop there. But 4 years later, Nebuchadnezzar arrives on the scene and obliterates Paro Necho's army in punishment for killing Yoshiyahu, and in punishment for harassing Klal Yisrael. B'shnas Hervias Li Yehoyakim Ben Yoshiyahu Melech Yehuda. Okay, let's read first. That's the introduction. Let's see these two psukim. Pasuk Aleph in the midst of David. Asher Hayakam Asher Ati Saper Asher Haya. Now we're going to relate exactly what happened. Pasuk Beis LeMitzrayim. Return to Lemar Zehu Amar Al Mitzrayim Ulutesefes Beir Amar Al Chel Paro Necho. And in more detail, in reference to the army of Paro Necho, Shul Melech Bayam, he was the king during that time, Asher Hoya, Ritzon Leimar, Aladover Asher Hoya, Eitzel Nahar Pros, Bemokam Karkmosh, Asher Hika, Sham Nevuchad Netzar. Rashi, Pasik There is no Rashi. Let's see the Radak. Radak Pasig Beis Limitzrayim Niba Techila Al Puranas Melech Mitzrayim Shabolo Michutz Liarza. First, we're going to describe the tragedies of what happened to Parame outside his land when they were in Karkamish. Vuhu Kasheholech Al Nahar Paras BeKarkamish Achar Shelokad Melech Ashur Melech Aram. This was after Paro Nechos succeeded in conquering Ashur and also the king of Aram. Kamosha Amar, Hala Bekarkamish Kalno, in Karkamish is his, I don't know what Kalno means. The Holach Sham, what?
Maybe Kulano?
Kulano, it says Kalno, I don't know. The Holach Sham Paro Nechobi Me Yoshiyahu, the Orcholo Yime Hamotso, Sham Ara Shonah Revis Lehoyakim, he laid siege. They laid siege against Karkamish for 4 years. The Olo Olov Nevuchadnezzar, and then Nevuchadnezzar came to the defense of Ashur and Aram. Shenemar Halabekar Olov Nevuzo VaAchakach Niba Al Eretz Mitzrayim K'sheich B'Shav Nevuchadnezzar. Then the second prophecy we're going to have is what's going to happen to Egypt in general when Nevuchadnezzar, and that took place after the Churban. That took place 18 years later. More than 18 years later. That took place, whatever, 20 years later, whenever it was, when Nebuchadnezzar went to destroy the homeland of Egypt. So basically presenting over here two different prophecies. It's first going to be, we're discussing the nation of Egypt. We're going to discuss 11 nations. The first nation is Egypt. Egypt had a major representation in Karkamish, battling Aram and Ashur. And this was wiped out by Nebuchadnezzar in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, 18 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Later, Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Eretz Yisrael, the Beis HaMikdash. And after that, he then went to Eretz Mitzrayim to wipe out Egypt and take control. Ashik Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar, Minog, Halosh, Lovay, Samach, Alam, Mispar, Bechaim, Bishnas, Shalosh, Lemolcho. We put the number. We put the this is the expression v'achareim zulaso. The minig is to put minag haloshen lavo samach al hamispar. We say bavel b'shnas harvias. As soon as we okay whatever v'achareim b'shnas shlosh lemolchay v'achareim zulaso. There are other examples paro necho tigim yonasin paro chagira paro the lame one, the one that sat on the throne of Shlomo HaMelech and became a lame. Okay, so we're up to the beginning of the prophecy, Pasuk Gimel.
This prophecy against Mitzrayim, the present paro that we're having today, is that
we're going back, the different paros. The present paro at the time of the Chum was paro Chofra.
Right, so
the paro 18 years ago was paro Necho. So here, we're getting, this is a new section here, and we're going back in time. We're going back now to the fourth year of Jehoiakim, 18 years before the Churban, and we are relaying a prophecy that Hashem said concerning the destruction of the nation of Mitzrayim. It's two parts.
Which is to come,
right. That's what we're going to start right now. Pasuk Gimel begins the actual description. This did not yet happen. And it's describing Pasuk Gimel, so Pasuk Gimel, exactly what's going to happen to the army of Paro when they are staged at the city of Karkamish. Okay, so we're going to stop here with Pasuk Gimel. We'll pick this up with Hashem next week.